We're going to look a little bit today, and just briefly, at the matter of faithful men, the matter of faithful fathers, and of course, whatever such there be are made faithful by God. Proverbs 20, verse 6, we read, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Most men proclaim their own goodness, and then goes on to speak of the faithful man, and evidently those two don't coincide very much. You know, the man who's proclaiming his own goodness is not very often a truly faithful man, though he'll assure you that he is. Our Lord, during his earthly ministry, told a parable of the Pharisee that was standing in the porticos of the temple. And the Pharisee prays to God, God, I thank thee that I'm not like as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He might have said this stinking publican, I don't know, but that was kind of just assumed, I guess. It's easy to find those that'll express their own goodness, and that's what most men will tell you. They'll tell you they're good, they're fine, they're okay. They're really a good fella. But the faithful man is made so by Christ, and he understands that there's no goodness in him. In verse 7, again, he goes on to say there in Proverbs 20, the just man, and again, he's made just by Christ, and because he's in Christ, walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. There's one of the great blessings, that those things that God instills in fathers can be passed on to those that follow him. Psalm 37, verse 26 tells us, he is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Speaking of the just man again, the faithful man, his seed is blessed. And if we're to bless our seed after us, we're going to need to be faithful men. And again, it's done by God, but we strive. We have to enter into the conflict. And you know, really, it would, I think, and particularly as we look about the world around us, that it's difficult to overestimate the importance of good fathers. I think it's a problem in our communities today, and we see all the strife and conflict and of confusion that's going on, particularly in the black communities, and I feel for those folks. Oftentimes, there's no father at home, and we shouldn't be surprised at the sort of things that we see and that we are reaping, and increasingly so, it's becoming in all communities in this land. If not the physical presence of the father, the influence of the father is lacking and missing. By the grace of God, we all have a legacy. We'll leave something behind us. Will it be blessing or will it be cursing? Even after we're gone, even after we're forgotten, even if we're not even known by some of those who come after us. And thus it is with our own lives, with our own countries. We consider the fathers, so-called, of nations. And up until recent times, we would thank God they weren't necessarily perfect men. No, but they were men who sought to do right and sought to live and walk aright. And now they're being disparaged and torn down. Washington, Jefferson, Madison, Lee, Jackson, Stuart. I saw they tore down statue to Francis Scott Key. These men were men of their time. They were born into era. And they're dismissed because they inherited an institution. Well, I'll start applying that to the folks in the Bible as well. We don't have much left. Consider as well like our Baptist forebears. And over time, I came to learn more of my own, not only Baptist forebears, but forebears after the flesh who were Baptist. And I didn't always know of them, but I always enjoyed the blessings that flowed from them. A man like Malachi Strickland, who planted a church up there in Perrin, was used of the Lord and passed that legacy down from generation to generation. And God used that. Bring many after him to walk aright. And we're called to be those sort of men. In fact, our God is pictured in Scripture as a father. And not only does that help us to learn of him, but it helps us to learn of what we ought to be as fathers. The Lord said in Matthew 6:19, after this manner, Therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We indeed all have a debt to God. We have a debt to the faithful fathers who went before us. And in some cases, again, we may not even know them. Certainly, we don't know who they all were. I enjoy genealogy, but I haven't been able to trace my line all the way back to Adam. I know it goes there. God has used faithful men through the ages and through that line and through all our lines. We have an obligation. We have a duty to the children that follow us. And again, in the earthly realm, we won't know who they are. Well, we may know our grandchildren, maybe our great-grandchildren, if the Lord deigns it. And some folks get to know their great-great-grandchildren, but not much more than that ever. But they'll be following us. They'll be that line. And we have an obligation to each of those. When this nation was founded, there was a real sense of posterity. It wasn't talking about folks that would, you know, come from all over the globe. That's not posterity. Posterity are those who by God's grace come from our own loins. And we have an obligation. We have a duty. We have a responsibility to them. As fathers and grandfathers and so forth. Consider a little bit this morning then what it means to be, as we read in this verse, a faithful man. What it means to be a faithful father. One who, as the scripture says, walks in his integrity. Do we walk in our integrity? Do we walk in accordance with what we know and what's right? And hence, and are, and will be our children blessed after us. First of all, a faithful father must be faithful to God. Whatever faithfulness we have by the grace of God flows from that as the first and primary faithfulness. And what faithfulness we've had, as we've been studying when we were going through Galatians, is the faith of Christ. And it's a gift of God. But we're still called to strive. We're still called to work. The fact of the matter is we cannot do right to our families if we don't do right by God. Oh, there's folks who, humanly speaking, may seem to be good, decent folks. They may provide financially or one thing or the other, but they've neglected the most important thing. And unless we do right by God, we can't do right, not to our families, not to anyone else. And all duty flows from that first and primary duty, that first and primary responsibility, that duty we have to God. Brother Howe was talking yesterday about what General Lee had to say about duty. And certainly he understood that his first duty was to God. General Lee said, "Duty is the most sublime word in our language. Do your duty in all things. You cannot do more. You should never wish to do less." What a challenge to do our duty to God. And because of that, that our duty is accomplished towards our families. The Lord in his earthly ministry reminded us in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The primary aspect, the first aspect, is our obligation to God, our faithfulness to God. Truly faithful fathers will be faithful Christians. And again, God makes us so, but we have to strive. We have to enter into the conflict. We have to wrestle against powers and principalities. That's all by his grace, but it's all by his appointment as well. Being a faithful Christian entails a life that is lived, that can be an example to others, particularly to our children. We should strive to be able to say what Paul did in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. "Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Not the typical that some folks grow up hearing, "Do as I say and not as I do." You know? Well, that doesn't work very well. Kids don't learn from that. "Be ye followers of me," Paul could say, "even as I am of Christ." If we really care for our children, our mates, and our descendants, we will, by the grace of God, strive to do right, to be the men that we ought to be, to set forth a godly example to those about us. Thomas Morell was a composer, and he was called an interpreter of Handel. I guess that means that he presented his stuff and interpreted it. But he wrote this: "The first great gift we can bestow on others is a good example." The first great gift we can bestow on others is a good example. An old Chinese proverb says, "Not the cry, but the flight of the wild duck leads the flock to fly and follow." I go where the leader goes. I don't just follow his squawking. And he can't squawk one place and lead them someplace else. By the grace of God, we seek in our own hearts to be faithful to God, to be faithful to his word, to be faithful to his church. And we turn to him for the grace and the ability to do that. But in the light of all of that, as we rest in God's sovereignty and his providence and his appointment, we know we are accountable. We are responsible. And we will give an answer unto God. We also know that we're incapable in our own strength and power, and thus we flee to him. So first, the father must be faithful to God. Second, a father must be faithful to his own family. And of course, the first faithfulness involved there is to be faithful to one's mate. I've shared in one of my blogs, and I've mentioned before, Colonel Smith, when we graduated from basic school, one of the things he told us that if, you know, I don't trust a man to be faithful to the oath he takes if he's not faithful to his wife. You probably won't hear many Marine Corps officers say such a thing today, but he understood that. If we can't be faithful to that most important oath, that most important covenant, why should we think someone's going to be faithful to anything else? And then folks say, it doesn't matter the kind of folks you got in the White House. And when there's a Democrat in the White House that's an adulterer, oh man, the Republicans are up in arms. And the Democrats say, no matter. And when there's a Republican in the White House that's an adulterer, the Democrats say, oh, he's terrible, he's terrible. And the Republicans say, it don't matter. It does matter. If we're to be faithful to God, if we're to be faithful fathers and faithful men, we have to be faithful to our mates. The importance of that shown in the relationship that demonstrates in that relationship that it pictures concerning the Lord's church. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Those things need to be a priority in our life. They need to be the priority in our life. Ephesians 5:28, continuing on, says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. For he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. We're to nourish, we're to cherish, nourish, we feed it. We take care of its needs. And that goes beyond the physical. It would refer to the emotional needs, to the spiritual needs. We nourish and we cherish. We love it. We value it. That should be our relationships to our mates. And if we're to be faithful fathers and to pass such down to those that follow us, it has to begin with our relationship to our wife. All the way back in the garden, God said, Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Our faithfulness to our wife, amongst other things, and we've talked about this a lot in Galatians, is shown by our exclusive commitment to our wives. In Proverbs, we read in Proverbs 5:15, drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of water in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not a stranger's with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? It just doesn't make sense. And yet man is a fallen creature. And a man is drawn at times by his lusts. And we need to exert great care. And we need to realize what the Lord has given us and what we're called to. And if we're going to be a good father to our children, we have to first be a good husband to our wife. And we have to be a spiritual leader in that family. Many times in Scripture we're told of this. In Deuteronomy, part of which is sometimes here called the Shema, and the instructions to Israel and to fathers. in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou, in the form of the word there, indicates that it's speaking to men. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. That's the first start, as we said, with being right with God. In our own heart, in our own mind, in our own soul. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. I don't even remember exactly that saying that came to mind that I got up there in my study, but it was the old black preacher. And says that a man can't teach someone something he doesn't know any more than he can come back from some place he ain't been. And a lot of folks try to teach things they don't know. They'd be, again, as successful coming back from some place they'd never been. Because it has to be in your heart first. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, all through the day. Not just in the words, it's in your actions. It's in your life. That's how you teach. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. These should be our guides, our directions. Paul tells us in the New Testament, in Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Our greatest instruction is how we live our life. That's the way we truly teach. And we teach our priorities to those who follow us by the way we live our lives. And that is the legacy we pass on to subsequent generations. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that talks about our obligation to instill these things, to teach these things. As I've come to understand that verse and study it, it's not saying that, you know, our children will always walk with God, that they'll always, you know, be amongst his elect. We're not in control of that. But you know what? We teach them, and when they're old, they can't depart from it. They can't get away from that teaching. When you've instilled, when you've implanted those things, they're there. And particularly if you've instilled and planted them by the way you live your life, it'll be there. And God, in his own time, may use that to truly bring them to himself. They may not always walk in it, but they can't get away from it. It's always there. Brings to mind our old friend Brother Schultz, who's home with the Lord now, but he used to often say, it's too late, you done heard it. You know, folks don't like to hear the truth, and you proclaim it, makes some of them mad. But the fact of the matter is, it's too late, you've done heard it. You're accountable, you're responsible. Certainly the faithful father attends as well to the physical and material needs of his family. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. We're to provide for our own. We're to provide for our own house. Not a life of luxury, but a faithful father that attends to the needs of his family. not depending on government, not depending on luck, not depending on the lottery. He provides for his own. And it includes as well the obligation, the necessity to protect them from harm. And that, I'm not going to preach that sermon, but that's part of the reason I go armed. We have an obligation to protect our families, and if we don't, we're worse than an infidel. We're to act under God's grace and with the assistance of both our wife and at times the children. We're not dictators. We're to be wise managers of our families. So a faithful father has to be faithful to God. He has to be faithful to his family, which begins with his wife. And he also has to be faithful to himself. I'm not talking about in some selfish way. It's kind of like these little Father's Day trinkets I got. We didn't have any to give out today, but I got these little mirrors, you know. Look in there. And who do I see in there? The guy in the mirror. The man in the mirror. The guy in the glass. Again, we go back to the verse we started with in Proverbs 20 and verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. He walks in his integrity. He looks and he sees. And as James tells us, the verse I put on our bookmark for the day. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, it's like if I get up in the morning and I look in the mirror and I'm a mess and I just say, oh, I like that, was that show to Fonzie or whatever. He never had to comb his hair. He'd look and say, oh, yeah. But that's not the way it is. We should look in the mirror, look in the glass and see what's there and take proper action. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The mirror of God's word. We look in there. We see ourselves. A lot of folks say, I ain't going to look in there anymore. But a man who walks in his integrity, he's honest with himself. He sees and he knows what a wretch he is, and he turns to God. And before God, if we're to be faithful men, we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to live as we ought. We have to strive to be what we know we ought to be. To do the good we know. Again, it's all by the grace of God, but we strive. We have to fight the good fight. We are called to persevere. We are called to struggle. We are called to tread the path. So we ought to not play the game of the hypocrite. I also put a little poem on that bookmark. And one time I thought, and some folks have attributed that poem to Rudyard Kipling, but evidently it's not the case. In fact, the fellow who wrote it, his family made a website in their father's memory. And again, this poem has been variously modified and has been called a little bit different things, but the But the message is there. It was written by Peter Dale Wimbrough in 1934. He was born in 1895, died in 1954. I haven't been able to find a whole great deal about him. He was a composer, a writer, a radio artist, a singer, evidently a Christian man. You've probably heard this in the past. But the man in the glass. When you get what you want in your struggle for self, and the world makes you king for a day, just go to the mirror and say to yourself, and see what that man has to say. That world may blow you up. You better take account. For it isn't your father or mother or wife whose judgment upon you must pass. The fellow whose verdict counts most in your life is the one staring back from the glass, man walking in his integrity. He's the fellow to please, never mind all the rest, for he's with you clear to the end. And you've passed the most difficult, dangerous test if the man in the glass is your friend. You may fool the whole world down the pathway of years and get pats on the back as you pass, but your final reward will be heartache and tears if you've cheated the man in the glass. Be honest to yourself. Be faithful to yourself. To walk in your integrity. To see yourself for what you are, and by God's grace, to seek to be what you know you ought to be. And being true to ourselves doesn't guarantee rightness. Some folks got some distorted views about things. But being true to ourselves is absolutely critical and of extreme importance. And what we do is have our views informed by the Word of God. We certainly ought to never, as a man of integrity, as a faithful man, we ought never to do what we know to be wrong. We ought never to do what condemns us in our own hearts. Acts 23:1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." In Romans 14:23, he writes, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Our own views of right and wrong are not the ultimate standards, but it's dangerous to go contrary to those things that we've come to know. Contrary to those standards that we have, that have hopefully been formed by the Word of God. To be honest with ourselves, to walk in our integrity, to be faithful to ourselves. We seek to know the Lord's counsel. And only then can we walk aright before God. The Psalm 1 tells us of the blessed man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It's a faithful man. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth, he knows it because he's determined it, For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. It's only by God's grace that any of us can be the fathers we ought to be the fathers that we should be. And I can't speak for anyone else, but I know I've not attained to that in perfection as a father or a grandfather. But I pray we might strive to be so, to go on by His grace to be that. To pray that His grace is manifested in our lives and that grace is passed on to subsequent generations. That our children are indeed, as we read there in Proverbs 20, are blessed after us. Blessed after us because by the grace of God we stood. That we passed on, that we taught, that they learned. One verse Brother Wayne preached to us a few weeks ago. Part of it from a passage I'd used previously, but that one verse that really stood out to me as Brother Wayne was preaching, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 7. Remember the days of old. Well, it seems like folks don't want to do that anymore. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. Are we showing? Are we telling? And are we seeking to instill these things in our children? Are we sitting by idly as they're being torn asunder and cast into the dustbin? And what will they have left then? I'll tell you this, there won't be any blessings after. I pray by the grace of God that we can't control the rest of the world, we can't control anybody else, but that we, by His grace, will be faithful men. And that by His grace, we'll walk in integrity. And by His grace, we'll be passed on to our children and to subsequent generations. Bless. And may it be so. Let's take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing a closing hymn together, number 269. 'Twas in the Father's plan. Number 269. 'Twas in the Father's plan.
Before the world began, give it to His Son. whatever may, with him I'll wait on high, wonderland or the sea. Oh, hallelujah, wondrous mystery. Oh, hallelujah, gracious.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that's set aside as the Lord's Day, day on which our Savior rose victorious from the grave. Father, we thank you for your eternal plan that unfolds according to your will. Lord, for those who went before us and you used, those fathers that walked in integrity, that by your grace were faithful men and passed on to us blessing. Father, I pray for those of us who are fathers, grandfathers, and husbands. Lord, that you might make us faithful men. That by your grace we can walk in integrity. Lord, that by your grace, blessings may be passed on to our posterity. We thank you for our Savior. We thank you for all that was accomplished on our behalf. And we pray in his precious name. Amen.